I am Arthur Frayn, and I am Zardoz. I have lived 300 years, and I long to die, but death is no longer possible. I am immortal. I present now my story.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hey everybody, welcome back to, what is this show? FilmSack episode 43. I'm Scott Johnson, and this is the show where we talk about obscure films from the past and the present, and we really enjoy doing that, so we hope you guys do too. Welcome to show 43. I'm not alone, though. Joining me today is Brian Machine Gun Barfing Ibbot.
Oh my God, there's this big giant stone head above me. I think it's the same one that always drops on me when I'm trying to collect coins in Bowser's Castle.
Totally, dude. Totally. And that's the very head that barfs the machine guns.
Yes, it is.
Just horks them right up.
Just hawks them right
just like my name.
If there's just one dude floating around up there, I don't know how I did it. But anyway, spoiler. Also with us, Brian Sharpie Mustache Dunaway.
Thank you. I couldn't tell that guy's mustache was Sharpie until it got really close. Anyway, mine's less to do with the movie and more to do with how many times is Scott going to play the boobies in this? Because
pretty constantly.
Yeah, Sean Connery's a pervert.
A pervert in a red diaper, that's for sure.
Yes.
And then rounding us out this week is Randy Magic Ring Jordan.
Hey, Scott, bear with me. I'm just making some notes here. Hold on. The gun is good. The penis is evil. The penis shoots seeds and makes new life to poison the earth with a plague of bad movies. That's right. We found our culprit, and its name is Penis.
with a capital P, baby. All right, so you already kind of know what the movie is, but it's still time for Scott Fletcher to swoop in with his silky tones and tell us anyway.
Zardoz! In this cult favorite by John Borman, who also did Beyond Rangoon, 23rd Century Society is split into two castes, the overly civilized Eternals and the barely civilized Brutals, one of which is constantly controlling the other. The Brutals worship a huge stone figure known as Zardoz! Zardoz! When Zed, played by Sean Connery, begins to question the authenticity of this god, the film is able to offer some pointed commentary on class structure and religion.
Oh, bull crap.
That's what somebody wants you to think.
Yeah, it's not a pick at Scott Fletcher. He's just reading the copy. I'm throwing a stone over there at Netflix for their description. I get that they kind of want to do that in this movie. Like, there's a little bit of social commentary happening, but it doesn't really work.
No, not unless you're dropping some serious LSD. I mean...
Yeah, for sure.
Not even close.
So in this career-ending film, or potentially career-ending film for Sean Connery,
How did he recover?
I don't know. It's one of those things where I was watching it going, oh, man, this is...
He went back to being James Bond. That's how he recovered.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, that nobody saw this movie.
He said it was really hard to get work, according to the trivia, after the James Bond stuff. And I don't understand why exactly. Maybe just the time or something. The mid-70s were a weird time for stars of movies. And people are kind of getting thrown away left and right. But I really kind of wish into my heart of hearts that the original casting would have held and they would have had, now I forgot who was.
What's Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds, yeah. Burt Reynolds was going to be Zed.
Why would you wish that on poor old Burt Reynolds?
Well,
because then this movie would have nothing going for it.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So Sean Connery shows up.
I don't know if Burt Reynolds could pull off the old... grab a woman who looks like she is in a coma and fill her up with the same gusto that Sean Connery did.
Yeah.
Throw her in the hay.
Yeah, that was pretty good. A John Borman film. He has not been a stranger to this show before. He directed Excalibur, a film that we previously talked about on this show. I think Excalibur probably a little bit more mainstream. This is a bit more of a pet project. This was also written by him. And I got the feeling the entire time that everybody was being really earnest and that they really wanted this to be great and that he had some broad ideas. But whether you want to call him a man before his time or time before the man or whatever, failed pretty gloriously.
Yeah. This really felt like Planet of the Apes, except really bad.
it actually reminded me more of was, what's the other movie? And I thought of it at the time. I didn't write it down.
It was, for me, it was Logan's Run. Is that?
Yes. Logan's Run.
Is that the one for you?
Logan's Run. Yeah. And Planet of the Apes was kind of an obvious poke too, but Logan's Run is very similar. I guess there's stuff in here that you could point to a million movies about, but definitely sort of this fish out of water. Life isn't what you thought it was. Mm-hmm. Fight to find out your big hairy dude that's gross in underwear.
Constantly.
Oh man.
Put some clothes on.
Yeah. When he's sliding down, there's a scene in this movie where he's sliding down a hill, a big rocky hill in those little, that big red diaper he's wearing. I can't imagine that was a fun scene to shoot.
Yeah. He got gravel butts.
Some serious rash, man.
So other people in the movie, we have Charlotte Rampling, who played Consuela, who I'd never heard of or seen. I'd never seen this movie before. So this was new to me and she's freaking gorgeous.
She is. Yeah. She's in one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite horror movies of all time, which is Angel Heart. And she plays a, if I remember correctly, she plays a sort of a psychic, a New Orleans psychic. And that was the first place I'd ever seen her.
Brian, did you actually see Angel Heart back in the 80s?
I saw it in 89. So I saw it on video. I didn't see it in the theaters.
I've been questioning whether my memory is faulty. Wasn't it very scandalous when it came out?
It was basically because of the whole Lisa Bonet thing.
Oh, right. Right.
She was still a Cosby kid when, or she had just left Cosby when the movie came out.
And wasn't there some terrible scene in that where she got a shotgun and the choo-choo or something like that?
Wasn't a shotgun, but.
And it wasn't a choo-choo, Scott.
Yeah, but she does meet a pretty grisly fate, but I think it's all done off camera. But it's one of those movies where, you know, Mickey Rourke just wants to have sex. And it's like, well, give me her and see if you can get her and see if you can get her. And
see if you can give me that Cosby kid.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. I really like that show.
Give me the Cosby kid. I really like some good comedic family entertainment. Bring her in.
That's right.
Anyway, we haven't done one of his
movies yet. I thought Charlotte Rampling was one of the upsides of watching this film.
Yeah.
She was
the only upside to this film.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, she was. Wouldn't you, Randy, say that she, if you had to pile everyone's acting together and make a score, she probably scored the highest or close to it?
Yes, yeah, I absolutely. Agree with that.
Yeah,
I felt like she was making a totally different movie. I felt like she actually knew what was going on.
Freckly ladies freaked me out. Sarah Kestelman, or Kestelman, sorry.
Sarah Kestelman.
Kestelman, excuse me. She's oddly interesting looking. Like, yes. I wouldn't call her super attractive or anything, but she's... in a weird kind of Lord of the Rings-ish kind of way. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, she's kind of elfin. She's a freckly elfin girl.
Yeah.
I thought she was very attractive in this film, freckles and all. And I thought she was actually very well cast. Just, at some point you kind of feel like the characters, everybody's playing characters that they don't really want to be playing. Everybody.
Yeah, that's true. I'm thinking of Cate Blanchett and her look, and she's downright beautiful in my mind, but she has a look about her that's so kind of weirdly ethereal and stuff, and I just kept being reminded of her by this lady.
Liv Tyler has that same kind of thing, kind of unusual.
Now, she has a picture. There's some pictures floating around of this woman now.
Do you know why Liv Tyler? He's like, yeah, she's kind of cute, but she reminds me of somebody, like a guitar player.
No, a singer. A scarf-wearing singer, right?
Isn't that, yes, guy with big lips and screams a lot. Yeah.
Can't. Oh, my God.
You know who's really good looking? Who's the guitarist?
Joe Perry?
Joe Perry's daughter, who was in Friday Night Lights. She's, whoa.
Not a musical one, but Oh, who is it? Who's the comedian, his daughter, who's on Saturday Night Live?
Chris Elliott.
Chris Elliott's daughter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Abby Elliott. Yeah, she's she's a cutie.
I hate that she's cute because every time I can, every once in a while she'll make a face and I'm like, oh.
Plus, Chris Elliott is so freaking nasty, dude.
Yeah.
And you know what I like? Well, forget it. That's a totally different... Where the hell are we? Oh, yeah. Zardoz.
Wow.
Because I was going to go off on how there's never been a father, like a generational starring role on that show. And he did it for a while. Although those were terrible years. Mm-hmm. And now she's doing it. But anyway, I don't want to drag us down that road because this movie is awesome. Let's talk about this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Who else that we noticed? Nobody really. They're all a bunch of people I'd never seen. A lot of British actors.
Because this is a British film.
True. True that. To help the movie stay cheap, Sean Connery used his own car and drove himself during the production. See, this is what I have. That's why I hate actors. Like, this is a big freaking deal. Guess what? I drive my car everywhere I need to go.
But you haven't gotten to the best part yet.
Okay. So John Borman gave him half the money that had been budgeted to hire a car and driver for him. The idea was Connery's, according to Borman.
So it's like, here, I'll save you some money by driving myself around. But give me half of what you were going to pay the guy anyway.
Oh, sure, you're going to make me wear this diaper, are you? and speaking of which, this is our second Sean Connery film. First one being that weird space
which
one.
Is shocking. I would have never thought Sean Connery was in so many bad films.
Well, he had a period of time there where things got a little bit rough. John Borman made this film on the rebound after his project to film Lord of the Rings was canceled. Speaking of Lord of the Rings. And I'm eternally grateful that he never made one.
Oh, I am absolutely grateful that.
Well, I know, you know, but look, back in 1980, whatever, whenever it was he did Excalibur, you could see that movie and then see signs that, oh, maybe this guy has the chops given today's sensibilities to do a Lord of the Rings film.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not that far of a stretch given that work, but this was before that. And I don't know who.
Well, it was really hard for me to analyze this movie from the standpoint of there was boobies on screen almost every minute of this movie.
You love
movie.
Could you imagine all the naked hobbits and naked elves and naked orcs that you would have seen if he would have done Lord of the Rings?
He could have gone down that road, I suppose.
I called it a movie.
A movie.
A movie.
This is the classic post Oscar rebound film. Like, when the Coen brothers won Oscars for No Country for Old Men, they turned around and made Serious Man, which is that whole do anything you want with whatever subject matter is closest to you. And most of the people who might like it aren't going to get it kind of film. That's this one. You know, he was coming off of Deliverance winning Oscars.
Oh, yeah. And Deliverance was a huge, huge success for him.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm down with a filmmaker who wins some Oscars, has some clout and money, can do anything they want, and goes and hires a bunch of naked people. I'm down with
it. That's a good way That's a good way to put it. He is... I was going to play this for Brian, and I was too late.
Boobies!
You're going to hear that a lot through today's show, I have a feeling.
Oh, yes.
Because there were many boobies to behold. But it was, you know, none of it felt...
There was not a bra on the set.
I was just going to say none of it seemed exploitive. But on the other hand... Well, like, what was the point of that brain room with all the naked pictures on the walls and stuff? Like, that was just for nothing. Like, what's the point of that?
What was the point?
Well, I enjoyed it. I understand the point, but I mean...
The penis is evil!
The penis is evil, as you'll hear later in our clips. But I just felt like there were moments where I was like, okay, well, I get it that there's some chick out riding around on a horse, and there's something weirdly dreamy about it and whatever. I get that. And I also sort of get the under the blanket wrestling stupidness he was doing. Yeah. But when it's just like plastered all over the wall and the enlightened ones are talking about how nobody needs sex anymore, yet they have every possible chance they can think of to put sexual stuff everywhere. Yeah. It's like, I'm not buying that, you weird British filmmaker.
My favorite part was when they were showing Zed the porno to get him, see if he would get excited. Everybody standing around.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, let's watch. Okay. What works for him here? No, that didn't work.
Mud wrestling. They only tried two things. That's what's so awesome. They showed a woman bathing, like standing in a shower with a lot of soap on her breasts, and that wasn't quite getting him. So they go to mud wrestling?
Well, we've only got two videos in the future.
And then didn't the final...
I got this video of a goat. Uh-oh.
But wasn't the final thing that worked was just static or something? Did I read that right?
No, the static was referencing him and his his arousal. He was getting
totally
aroused just by
that.
Looking at Charlotte Rampling.
Oh, the penis truly is evil.
I didn't understand what the little bar thing was. I thought they were just looking down because he's got that little Speedo thingy going on. So.
Right.
Did they have like things hooked up to that? I don't want to know. I'm sorry.
I should have put a warning at the top of the show. This movie's a little naughty. It's not, I mean, it's not like outrageous. Like,
there's not like a lot of sex or anything, but there's implied rape but it's all kind of light and weird.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. It's a weird, light, naughty, like a strange sort of, oh, look what we did. And then dancing off in the corner like an idiot.
So, Disney did softcore. It would look a lot like this.
Yeah, very well said. Less purple dresses on the men, thank you. Next time.
Did y'all get confused sometimes? Because this was before a lot of women were doing breast augmentation. So some of the dudes were running around with their nipples hanging out too. And sometimes I would get confused. I'm like, is that a guy? Because they would be wearing long hair, and the whole movie totally sexually confused me.
Lots of British, sort of pale British, kind of chunky actors, weirdly chunky.
Did Zardoz have some really bad teeth, or was it just me?
The stone head?
No. Yeah. Zardoz himself?
Yeah. No, the statue head thing.
The stone head had some bad teeth, bad British teeth.
Because it's
that lack of fluoride that'll do it to you.
Right. It constantly barfing up guns that'll do it to you every time.
I loved how the guns came out, though. That was so great.
I know, because you can see like staff up there just with armloads of it. All right, you guys, here we go. Wah!
I wouldn't have bought that no matter what. I'm like, hey.
I know, if I was one of the Chosen or whatever down there, my red diaper and my two-way helmet, I'd just be going, what is that?
Don't stand directly under it, by the way.
Yeah, that was crazy. Anyway, so
it kind of seemed like during those pinata shots where, you know, things are flying out of Zardoz, the statue's mouth, it kind of seemed like there was guns and candy. I don't know. It just seemed like there was another fistful of something, and I couldn't help but think it was boxes of, like, peanut M&Ms or something.
It was ammunition, but yes, I know exactly.
Oh, that's a good – I didn't think about that. You're
yeah,
right.
They're ammo boxes. Yeah.
Well, no, they were even, like, little loose shells, clips. Like shotgun shells and stuff flying out.
Oh, that's
Could
right.
Could you package this in a big box, please?
Exactly. Could you throw down a backpack, please?
I still don't. They really didn't show us how Zardoz got into the mouth hole, which I would have really.
Or how Sean Connery got in.
How Zed, how Zed got in.
That's what I meant, not Zardoz. Who cares how he got in? Yeah, how Zed got in is my concern because.
Well, he hid in the wheat. Because they would bring the wheat that they harvested put it in the mouth. Because it would land. Apparently, it lands long enough for you to put wheat in, but apparently it can only get rid of the guns by flying over you and throwing them, barfing them down on you.
But
I give you guns! There's
the first thing that took me way out of the film. You know, Zed sneaks into the head of the god and and comes out of the wheat he's hiding in. People. Yeah. And he looks around, and there's all these people in Ziploc bags, and they're completely naked, and they're almost all female. Yeah. And that's the moment where he continues to investigate, and he's going to go like look in the eye or something. I'm like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Yeah. There's a naked lady in a Ziploc bag. Anyone alive that has ever been human would have opened the Ziploc bag.
They never explained that. They never explained it. Like, okay, so forget about the idea that, and I agree, that he sees him and doesn't want to help or even wonder what the hell's going on. And they're all alive because they're breathing.
Yeah.
I was actually getting kind of concerned because some of those bags are a little bit tight. And this is before they put the warnings on plastic.
But what were they doing? Like, what was that for? What was that supposed to represent? Because
I'm sure they power the vehicle or something. I'm sure they're
it's probably there's a good some idea. Way of no, you're probably you're probably right. I mean, obviously they never get explicit about it, but sure, I guess that works.
You just gotta like admit though that
telekinesis that they do too. The bong and
but my point, or maybe they were the gun chuckers. I don't know. Maybe they came out of their bags. All right,
get back in your bags. Hurry.
Naked people throwing shells out of the mouth of a giant floating stone. Good times.
That was actually a really good special effect, though. You got to admit that floating Zardoz head actually was It was pretty darn good.
It was okay and kind of freaky, but my very first inclination was to try to find a replica and get it.
I would love
to have that on the corner of my desk somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Hang it up and in the corner.
Maybe you touch one of its eyes and it talks to you.
Yeah. And you know what else?
Zardoz has spoken.
I'll go to the store and buy like all the G.I. Joes I can find, throw the dolls away, keep the guns, put them in the mouth of the thing, dump it out. I'm telling you. There's money in that, so whoever owns the rights.
Come here, kids.
I don't want that. What is that? Why, it's the Zardoz pinata. Sit down and have fun. So let's talk about some of the favorite things or things that we saw that outside of what we've already talked about. The very first thing I noticed that I really enjoyed and liked was the sweet heavy metal style logo in the name.
That's exactly what I put in my notes here. Logo looks like an 80s heavy metal band.
Totally like Slayer or freaking Pantera or something.
Starts with a
Spinal
Z.
Tap.
Ends with a C.
Yeah, way Spinal yes. Tap. In fact, oh my gosh, almost like infringingly Spinal Tap now that you say that.
10 years before Spinal Tap, yes.
Yeah.
Infringingly.
Yes. Right.
Infringingly. Stupid Spinal Tap.
Wait, what year was Spinal Tap? I thought that was 80s. Oh, it was
83, 84, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was late 70s for some reason.
They looked like they were from the 70s. That was kind of their
That was their heyday, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I wanted to bring up this one thing, and you guys can tell me if you think I'm crazy, but it seems like I've seen this in 1,000 movies, but I couldn't tell you which ones. But it struck me so strong that I've seen it that I had to bring it up. And that is people who have never seen a Jack in the Box before turning it, having it pop out and scare them. And then they try to shoot it or kill it or they freak out. Where else has that been done? Because I swear it's not even one example. It's like thousands of movies. But yeah. I couldn't.
E.T.? Wasn't there something with E.T. where he did something like that?
Probably.
I don't remember that, but that imagery makes me laugh.
No, I think you're right.
It was turned upside down in the Will Ferrell Christmas movie Elf, where he's testing
the
Jack in the Boxes, and every time they scare him, no matter how many times.
Yeah, that's one. There's many others, but it almost made me want to put it on the film sack list. But then I thought, well, it's such a weird thing. I'll probably never see it again, but I know it's out there. Anyway, that was stupid. And I also thought the entire time the British guy that got turned half old and half young by the end of the thing, he looked like Eric Idle, and I could never get past it.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like an Eric Idle, like a bad Monty Python skit. With no joke.
Yeah, his whole trying to talk like a, like an old man was just laughably so distracting. Well, let's take you over here.
It's like us talking like old men.
Exactly. Right. And we do it for comedic effect.
Yeah, we do it on a stupid free podcast without any intention of getting paid for it. And those guys are like professional British stage actors. And he couldn't pull off his old man voice. But I also noticed it seemed like they made a lot of bread there. Quite a bit of bread.
Yeah, twisted bread. Yeah.
Blue bread.
Yeah, lumpy bread. Knot. What is it like? That knot bread.
Yeah. Sounded kind of good at the time. I was starving.
Yeah. Well, like pistachio because it was green.
Yeah. So what else jumped out to you guys as just fun campy? Because I'll say right now, I had a ball. I loved this movie. I really did. I loved it. I hated it, but I loved it.
I did about until about 2/3 of the way in. I mean, there got to be points where it was like, okay, how much longer can we watch him running around in this pyramid?
The mirrors, dude.
Running from this side over there and then shooting
away
stuff.
From coming out of doors like Scooby-Doo.
Exactly. And then turn this way and shoot. Oh, and then turn this way and shoot. You know, it's it could have been about 10 minutes shorter cutting out a lot of
There was
stuff.
Two things like that. There was the mirror thing and there was, what was the other scene that just seemed, was it him in the sheets with the what's-her-name?
Yeah, that would freak me out. For the freckly girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not want to be in the sheet with the freaky girl like
there
that.
There were a lot of investigations of his mind by those with the whatever, the telepsychic powers. And that was bothersome to me because I didn't know when it was starting and ending. So I started to not believe that I was watching actual narrative. And there were times when I had to like kind of wake up and shake my head and go, okay, so this is the real movie. This is not in his head, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Anything else jump out, Brian Dunaway, that you thought was interesting in this film?
I love the end scene where everybody was begging to be killed because I was thinking, yes, please. Yes.
There's pretty grisly shots of death there at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They were begging for death.
What was this movie rated? Does anyone know?
It was rated R for sure, but I think that was before NC-17. I'm surprised this didn't get an X, but I guess since there was no real hardcore
Yeah, for its scenes. Time, I guess. Yeah, I guess that would be right.
Oh, yeah, this is considered an art film, man.
Exactly, and that's kind of where it's coming from. It's considered art film because whoever made it was on some serious freaking drugs.
Yeah.
Because I was constantly getting lost in this movie going, what? Man, if you do one more kaleidoscope thing, I'm going to flip out, man.
Wow, in Korea, it's rated 15. What the hell is that?
It's rated 15.
I don't know what that is. The closest thing to our rating system, listen to this. Singapore, M18. Iceland, 16. Canada, 18. South Korea, 15. Australia, M. Finland, K16, which is like a, isn't that like a ship?
It's a kind of school.
Yeah. It's like a boat. Norway, 16. Spain, 18. Sweden, 15. UK, 15. The USA gave it an R. Nobody else has like a rating close to ours.
It really doesn't. Yeah. I mean, it's almost doesn't mean? Really those, deserve an R. It
those almost were all deserves, close to ours. Every one of those ratings was close to 17 years old, right?
Well, I guess, is that what those R's 15. Ages? I guess so.
But it in was Europe, back
you can,
then.
You can see all this kind of stuff just walking down the street.
That's true.
Billboards. Right? Yeah,
that's
have you ever been to Las Vegas?
The one good exception.
Point. I probably could watch this with my oldest son who is 12 and go, okay, look. There's going to be a lot of women's breast in this. You're aware of breast. There's going to be no really gratuitous scenes. And because you don't have to explain sex really because they don't really discuss it other than they say the penis is evil. But, you know,
and they walk around with their stuff.
I tell my son that all the time. I'm like, the penis is evil. Don't get any girls pregnant. I'm not taking care of that.
Yeah. But, you're not going to be his grandpa. Live at home.
I'm too old for kids.
But when they show a scene like the illustrated penis in its flaccid and then erect states, yeah. That, I remember
I
going.
I felt like I was in middle school taking sex ed.
I felt like I was about to see Caliglia and nobody warned me. You know what I'm saying? It had kind of a Caliglia feel to it.
Yeah.
Like that, Bob yeah, Guccione.
That scene was the start of something that went nowhere where, you know, like they had to give you some backstory. Like, why are all of these immortal, noble types, why are they just kind of standing around? What do they want? And well, the answer is they want to be able to reproduce, or they want to understand why they're not reproducing, why they're so impotent. And the stupid imagery of that was so wrong for the movie. It looked like it was taken out of that joke from Superbad where Jonah Hill used to draw images of penises when he was a little kid.
Yeah. It seems very clinical, except for the one scene that I would have trouble explaining to my kids would be, I had trouble explaining to myself, is when they started sucking his life from him, yeah. And they started kissing each other, and to have two men kiss in 1974 on film.
Yeah, that's pretty pushing the limits for sure.
The great thing, Brian, is if you don't say that, most people won't notice there's two men kissing. That's how androgynous this thing is.
It's true. I didn't even really notice it first. I was like, hey, that girl is kind of manly, and that girl is kind of manly. Wait a minute.
That's not a girl. Yeah, there was a bit of that stuff going on. So I guess in a way it was breaking ground in some ways, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it didn't feel super daring. But to me, the underlying story and potential of said story was greater than the result. Like, they could tell, like today, if somebody said, we're remaking Zardoz, we're calling it a normal name, it won't be a heavy metal logo, and no one's wearing red diapers, they could really pull off an interesting movie, because I feel like the core is there. It's like, yeah. You know, it's like taking, it's in a way, it's like taking a really pretty supermodel, getting her out in Prague to do the runway, and then dressing her in a clown suit and calling it good. So the potential was there. They just squandered it. And in 1974, maybe it didn't feel like squandering it. Maybe this all felt very avant-garde and you know, really, you know, stretching things. And you know, I can't think of what to compare it to today. I'm trying to think in my head like a movie that tried to do that and failed.
Yeah.
And I can't think of one. But
the sexuality of it was really, I don't know, it just seemed, it should have been more irrelevant. I mean, it really didn't push the story forward other than just to say, well, we can't have sex. And, you know, because Sean Connery never played, I mean, he played Savage for about half a second, and then it was just gone.
I was even wondering if we were supposed to think that they did something to him once, you know, once he was walking around the vortexes and you know, meeting all the people, because he seems so docile. Like, okay, they must have drugged him or did some sort of brainwashing or something to him. And then he starts answering them and talking to him. It's like, okay, so he's just chosen to not be the same Savage he was for the first
Sean Connery.
2 minutes of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. For a minute, he's like, oh, Planet of the Apes. We're dragging him around like an animal. And the next minute, he's delivering bread and cracking wise at the dinner table.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then next thing you know, old people are trying to grab him. And then he walks into the coma ward and they're all trying to kiss him.
It was freaking weird. You could see it in his face. You can see it in his face. He's just like,
So Scott, you said you'd remake this, but you wouldn't call it Zardoz. So how would you get around the whole Wizard of Oz revelation in your movie?
You'd have to call it Zardoz because, come on, who's going to... Okay, so you cover up the WI and then you also have to cover up the of...
I forgot. You know what? I completely forgot about that reveal at the end. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, you can still get around it. What I'm saying is it can be the same core story.
Yeah.
Just don't make it look like butt.
Don't make it look like butt.
And make people not act like idiots and make it not be weird and way over long with the mirror chase and all that stuff. Just make a better movie around this core idea. I'm okay with it. You know, it kind of had a Kroll taste to it a little bit of... Yeah. That kind of stuff, that weird old 70s, 80s fantasy stuff.
I felt like Battlestar Galactica kind of had like an influence from this, the original one.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Really? In what way? I'm intrigued.
Whenever they dealt with any of the, there was like one planet they had that was kind of like a Vegas kind of planet, and they had that like kind of techno music, and it was kind of like slavery and whole, this whole sexuality and orgy type thing. And I really felt like the flavor of that was represented in one of those. I forget the name of the episode.
Wait, they had they had a Vegas planet?
Yeah, it was like a Vegas planet. Yeah.
Oh my god!
You remember that?
No, but I do remember this. Still one of the great themes in all TV history. Anyway, sorry.
I like the fact that you have that just, you know, at a moment's notice.
Yeah, it is.
One really quick thing back to kind of the Wizard of Oz reveal and the bit we were talking about a second ago. John Borman, in a bit of a coincidence here, is in production of remaking The Wizard of Oz for a 2011 release.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. He's also involved in a Excalibur remake.
An Excalibur, yeah.
Yeah, so the guy's still kicking it, man. He's still doing his weird-ass crap.
You know what? I think I was thinking of Buck Rogers.
Oh.
It wasn't Battlestar Galactica. Well. Now, do you remember it?
Do you have that theme, Scott? Huh? Pull that one up, Scott.
I might actually. Here you go.
The year is 1987, and NASA launches the last of America's deep space probe.
Oh, Lord. 87. Come on, Buck Rogers.
Jeez.
They did not have very much forethought in the 80s to think that the 87 was going to be it. Although, I guess Buck Rogers, the story was always set in the 80s, but whatever. So I did have that at the handy, although that quality was pretty bad.
That was amazing.
So what else? What else? What else?
Sean Connery, this is the first running around his little red thing. Oh, go ahead.
Well, this is the first thing for Connery that represented the poop he did before he got back on his feet. So right before this, James Bond, like right before it. And then right after this, garbage. Until like The Untouchables, I think, or close to it. I know he did a return to Bond in Never Say Never or whatever, not long after this, but there really wasn't much going on for him for a very long time. Highlander, which I know we all love Highlander, but still think about it. It's not the main role. He, you know, gets his head cut off 20 minutes into the movie. It's not like him sitting back on his James Bond laurels going, yeah, look at me. You know,
but what about Robin and Marion? I mean,
we almost watched that on the show, and then one of us
we did. Oh, we,
you watched it, and you said we can't do this show, this movie.
Yeah, we didn't end up doing that one.
Nope,
that's right, because I had to watch it, and you guys didn't watch it.
Yeah, because you said it was such garbage, and we took your word for it.
It was terrible.
We are missing Brian Ibbett.
So this is Scott. You're talking about a trope called old shame. That notion that you have to do bad work before you're allowed to do good work, or doing bad work somehow promotes you to being able to do good work.
Well, I don't even I'd like to explore that. So continue. I don't think I'm actually saying that, because I think it was just a misfortune of time and type and casting and other stuff, because I think he was always capable of much and has, you know, since proved that. But what is that? Describe that to me, because I've actually never heard that before.
Well, yeah, people talk about it all the time. You can reference almost anyone who's really, really successful in Hollywood. And, you know, James Cameron did Piranha 2 first. And, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger made that Hercules in New York film first. And that kind of thing. It's like you always have this old shame, like Kevin Costner's Sizzle Beach USA, that somehow made it okay for you to be good. And I've never been able to wrap my head around it, but people who watch movies tend to think it's perfectly fine. Like, that's all right. All right. So Sean Connery made a bunch of crappy movies. That's all right, because he was good.
Yeah, and he looks at it eventually. The funny thing is those actors always either deny they were in these things or hate that they were in them.
Yeah.
We have a movie next week, Jaws 3, where very specifically the Quaid brother in question sort of denies.
I can't believe he's in that movie. I totally forgot he was in that movie.
No, me too. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. But yes, Brian.
But Sean Connery, Outland.
Outland was good, but it was good in a weird, not Bond way, like a kind of secondary kind of, well, all right, I'll take this way.
Kind of a weird outdoors fighting in space kind of weird.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. But he wasn't getting... go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if the concept of old shame is promoted by the actors and directors themselves. You know, like, do you remember how George Clooney once said that if you ever walked up to him on the street and said you had paid to see Batman and Robin, he'd refund your ticket price out of his own pocket? Like, maybe it's their trope.
Is it kind of a Jobs Wozniak in the garage kind of thing? Like it shows, they paid their dues, they did the hard thing.
Yeah, I suffered the rite of passage.
Right, right, right. I can see that. All right, let's do some clippies. We have clips. Ibbit, you're back, right?
He's back.
Okay, yeah. We lost him for a minute. No one even knew, but now I brought attention to it.
He was watching Zardoz on the other screen.
<That's> right. All right, well, let's let the guy in the movie do the talking. This is a weird kind of Plan 9 from Outer Space intro in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
With the guy sort of explaining with a Sharpie mustache what's going on.
I love that. The floating head.
Douchey floating turban head.
Totally.
Douchey floating turban head.
Once again, Ibbit coins that week's crazy film sack quote. People are still saying shit gratifter to me every time I say anything. Anyway, so here it is.
Come up on Twitter every once in a while, too.
This clip is called I Am Zardoz.
I am Arthur Frayne, and I am Zardoz. I have lived 300 years, and I long to die, but death is no longer possible. I am immortal. I present now my story.
Story. La, 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 la. That guy annoyed me the whole time he was ever on.
I couldn't keep up with him. He was bouncing like Pong all over the TV screen.
Can you tell me why he didn't die when he got shot? Is there some explanation for that?
Oh, yeah. You were always reborn.
Oh, right, right. In the plastic sack castle or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude, that was so stupid.
I told Tina that watching his head bouncing around on the screen kind of reminded me of when you pause a DVD player for too long.
Yeah. I saw that too.
Like my old Toshiba player.
What's going on? Did somebody hit pause?
My kids used to, I got to tell you this, my kids used to play a game, like when the movie would end. Or they'd wait for the screensaver to kick in, and they would go and they would have bets and argue about which corner they thought it would hit because sheer happenstance.
Right in the middle of that corner.
Exactly. Like both sides would get it, right? And it would hardly ever happen.
Episode of Office?
No. That was on The Office.
Yeah, they did a thing on that. Jim and Pam were...
oh my gosh, I never saw that. Are you kidding
me? Players of the game with, where they'd watch for the DVD logo to bounce right into the corner dead square.
Either NBC owes me money or a lot more people did this than I thought. I'm sure it's that. All right, so we learn about guns and penises in this next quote. It's my new band name, by the way. I'm going to play bass. Guns and penises. Here we go.
Zardoz speaks to you. His chosen ones. You have been raised up from brutality to kill the brutals who multiply and are legion. To this end, Zardoz, your god, gave you the gift of the gun. The gun is good.
The gun is good.
The penis is evil. The penis shoots seeds and makes new life to poison the earth with a plague of men.
The penis shoots seeds.
I just shot my penis with my gun.
Am I good now?
Oh my gosh. And not only are, I guess he gives him the gift of the 20th century gun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of some old guns.
What was the year?
I can't help myself. In my mind, I was just combining the last two topics. So the speaker was Michael Scott from The Office, and everybody was not paying attention to him, but was instead watching the TV behind him with the screensaver bouncing around.
Yeah,
because that's an iconic scene from that show. And when the square almost hits the corner perfectly, they all go, "Oh!" And of course, Michael Scott doesn't know what they're looking at, so he thinks they're reacting to what he's saying. And that actually kind of happens in that scene that you just played. It was really cool.
A little bit weird. I feel like we've fallen into an enigma wrapped in a mystery.
Smothered in secret sauce.
Yes. Ooh, tasty. Anyway, guns and penises. Awesome stuff. We have another quote here about what does Zardoz say?
Do you know where you are?
The Vortex.
You come from the Outlands. You were told about the Vortex.
Zardoz says...
What does Zardoz say?
Zardoz says, if you obey him, you will go to a Vortex when you die, and there you will live forever.
The Vortex.
I hate when I have to quote scripture, but...
quote scripture?
Quote scripture?
That was awesome.
Oh my gosh. Ryan, you've never done that one before. Do that more often.
Oh, man.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty awesome. All right. I wrote this one. It's called Computer, but I don't remember what I told it to do. So, I know what it is. It's the stupid rings, the communicator rings everybody has with their projection screens and stuff.
I forgot, but that was actually my favorite part of the whole movie when Sean Connery keeps trying to hide it.
Yeah.
He keeps projecting it everywhere because I would do the same thing. Yeah. I'd have that ring and be like, what's going on here? Why is this ring talking?
Stuffing it into a can and sticking it in a drawer.
Does it project on the ceiling? It does. Does it project on that wall? Oh, it does. How about on my forehead? It does.
I must be in the vortex. All right. Here it is. Check it out.
A much more complex program. Shall I seek vortex consent for a longer program? Shall I seek vortex consent?
Yes!
It will take time. There is a stack up on some surface.
Best angry acting in the movie. That's what that was.
Oh, this movie is killing me.
I know, it's so
that's
bad.
Like exactly what's going to happen when computers get to the point that they're talking to us like that with their calm voice and keep asking us questions over and over again for input. We're going to do the same thing. Yes, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly. That's the future. Yeah. And also, with scenes like this, really the whole movie, I'm guessing the entire cast rapped and they all went and had the rap party at Studio 51. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of thing where people were getting just weird and cocaine was sort of new and, you know, people are taking off their pants at inappropriate times and it was being seen as artistic.
Oh, this isn't the right time.
You went Studio 54 then, because Studio 54 was the one with cocaine. Studio 51 had Tang.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tang? Wait. What? Tang? Oh, Tang.
Tang.
All right. Got it.
Tang.
I got it. Let's do some mumbo jumbo. What the hell is this? Can you tell me what the bread people are clapping for? What the hell happened there?
I don't know, but I think you, you know, just like a 3D movie for this LSD movie, you'd have to be taking some serious drugs.
But they never explained that. Like, that was just a thing they did. Like, it was.
It sounded like he was talking backwards. So I don't know if that was like.
Maybe they could hear him clearly in their minds because they're psychic.
Maybe, but why talk at all then? Why even? All he did was go, "Hip, Paul is dead."
Yep. Whop, yep.
Whop. Really freaking weird. Of all the things in the movie that freaked me out the most, that was it. Because normally you have some kind of something in a movie that says, oh, well, here's why this is happening, or this will come up again, so learn it now because later you'll need to remember it. That didn't happen ever again.
No, never brought up. Never
a lot explained. Of things happened in this movie just one time.
All right.
Well, and a lot of things in this movie contradicted themselves. And not in a really flashy, in-your-face way, just kind of like, if you think about it, this is a future where women are really concerned about how horrible and violent the sex is. And the minute a guy shows up who can sustain an erection, they all want to hump him, you know?
Right. Whenever a brutal in a red diaper shows up with a wiener. Okay, let's talk about meditating on the second level. This got pretty intense.
Oh my gosh, that freaked me out, man. That was that was definitely some serious drug going on.
Well, here it is.
Meditate on this at second level.
Oh. No. I will not go to second level. No.
Okay. What?
What? I actually think I almost figured out what that was.
What? Give it to me.
It was Please. Kind of like at this, if when you go to the second level, you can hold no lies. Everything you say is the truth. As you notice that when he started to elevate into the second level, he started spewing negativity. And that could be, if you do that, then you could be prosecuted by being aged.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. You are John Borman disguised.
So after I took a few more hits off the bong.
Really weird, man. I'm just saying.
Totally getting this movie.
Yeah, it was just really freaking weird.
But all they were doing was giving him little wavy fingers.
By the way, I got to tell you guys that the image that'll go up with this episode is a picture of Sean Connery pushing his face against the glass when he was out doing the mime action.
That. Yeah,
how cool is that? Oh,
I can push it with my hands. That's not enough. I'm gonna have to push my face against it.
It's pretty cool because his nose is all smeared up. You can't even tell it's him.
I wonder if this is before Windex, because that was pretty darn clean glass.
I don't know. You'd have to meditate on second level to find out.
My favorite thing about the whole way these people live and the way they communicate and punish each other and whatever is that basically the horrible punishment for the immortals is to be speed aged. Like, you know, you do something wrong or you try to present ideas that don't work and they're going to speed age you. And, you know, the worse it is, the more they're going to age you. And the closer you get to the death and the senility of being aged, the more likely you are to be wearing a tuxedo.
Nice.
What does this say about formal wear, really? Yeah,
really. That's the question we may never get answered to or have answers to. Instead, we'll listen about only hangmen die with erections. I don't know what that means, but you'll find out here.
Many hanged men died with an erection.
Okay, just for clarity, one more time.
Many hanged men died with an erection.
Bull crap.
That must mean they were well hung.
Oh, dude.
Oh, nice.
But that's not based on any truth of any kind, is it?
No. She was basically just saying that if they were, promiscuous in that manner and could not control themselves, they were killed.
Wow. Okay, but then they die with the erection?
I mean, the mechanism of erection is vasoconstriction.
I don't think they were saying that. I think that she was saying that the only way to stop them from being that way was to kill them.
I thought she was saying that men have been killed, and even then they still had boners.
Yeah,
because stubborn. I thought the point was really clear. She was making the point that a bad man, you know, once again, the penis is evil. A bad man had to be hanged, and when you hang him, he had an erection. Like, he got off even in that, you know, he was being killed by hanging.
Weird.
So how much pot were you smoking?
But it wasn't a complicated concept.
You may be right.
I'd much rather be hung by my neck.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That was too funny.
That was good. All right. Old people attack. A little clip from that. Here you go.
Now hear this, you old fox. Meet this creature from the outside world.
Uh-huh.
This man has the gift of death.
Yeah. Love it.
What?
That guy kept saying, through the whole scene. It was awesome.
I like when they faded, like those four guys stood up and took the position, and then they faded to the memory of when they first became immortals and they were all young and stuff. That was great. I loved it. I love that old people stuff. That was ridiculous. All right. incriminate us all is the quote. I don't remember what this is. So I'll play it. Here you go. 5 seconds is all. And here it is.
Inseminate us all, and we'll teach you all we know, give you all we have.
Not assimilate us, inseminate us.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. Boy, that's a real feminist for you right there, huh?
Let me play that again one more time.
Inseminate us all, and we'll teach you all we know, give you all we have.
Oh my gosh, that's a horrible offer, dude.
I know it. Yeah. Can we cuddle first?
It's just an unnecessary trade. Inseminate us all. All right, you have me. You don't have to offer me anything.
Weird.
All I've been able to think about since I've gotten here.
What I would love to ask him while he's in the vortex, what he thought of this now. Like, ask him now that he's in his 80s or whatever he is, and say, dude, Zardoz, what's up? And just see what he says. He'd say, who's the man now, dog? Or I'll show you how to get Capone. I don't know what I'll say. I love Sean Connery. I really do.
Yeah.
So
this movie is straining that love.
Yeah. Ooh.
Junior.
Yeah, but
let go, Junior.
Was the end just not weird? I mean, him
the
and her sitting
with the two of them sitting side by side.
Until they fading older and older until they were skeletons. With that really gross
sun. That was
sun.
One boring marriage.
Yeah, that was weird.
Really, it's time for us to sit for our annual picture.
Well, exactly. That's what it felt like. Time for that picture.
I challenge the four of us to not try to explain the meaning of that last scene. I really do.
Okay.
I think it really doesn't deserve being explained or delved into.
I don't think there's any explanation. Bad. I think it's just the cycle continues. How come she lived, though?
She didn't. She chose not to.
I mean, how come she didn't die? I mean,
well, the crystal was destroyed.
I keep saying it wrong. She died. Oh, the crystal kept them all alive. Was that the deal with the crystal?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
It maintained their age.
Well, it just mean they, but it also meant they couldn't be once they destroyed all that. They couldn't be rejuvenated or created again.
Correct.
Or whatever.
That's right.
Okay.
Right. In addition, she basically was immortal at that point in time,
which is also a Battlestar Galactica in the modern sense trope as well. Mm. This idea of, you know, so what if you die? You'll just the birth ship, or whatever it's called. Yeah. What was it called? Not birth ship.
The resurrection ship.
Resurrection ship.
Resurrection ship.
Yeah.
The birth ship. We'll do it.
What do you want to call this ship where they have the babies at?
How about birth? All right.
Birth ship.
Sounds good. We're filming in three. All right. let's move on to, oh, and by the way, just one last mention. His gun had a lot of damn bullets in it. I never saw him reload it. Just throwing that out
there. It was excellent. Well, it was the gun from the gods.
Did he have a diaper full of bullets? And just
no, he had two. Didn't he have bandoliers?
Suspenders.
Those were shotgun shells, weren't they?
That's true.
Yeah, I'm.
That's way too critical, Scott.
I was going to say, well, pick that.
I'm not buying
this movie. Forget it.
Yeah. I know there's some firearms people out there who agree with me. Write in. Let us know. Filmsack@gmail.com. All right. Moving on to our Filmsack checklist. Title with a double meaning. Absolutely, it did. Literally.
Yeah.
A double meaning. It was supposed to be
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz and an alien name. We just didn't know it yet.
I was pissed when I found out. I got so pissed I started knocking books down.
Yeah.
Lies!
Did anybody pee?
Yeah, the custodian has just got to clean it all up. You're not really hurting anything.
Yeah, doesn't hurt anyone.
I wish they had lingered on that longer. His discovery. I would have preferred them have on his face just for a few minutes and him reading the book, and we could see him and kind of like his eyes come up over the book or something. Have like a shocking close up all of a sudden.
Oh, you mean acting?
Acting. That's what I was looking for.
Were there any? I've decided to combine peeing and barfing and all the other things into one category, which is just bodily functions.
Any bodily excrements? Yeah.
No, there wasn't.
Nope.
Any bodily excrements? Holy crap!
Yeah. Just the guns out of the stone.
That's right. Yeah,
there was barfing then.
Stonehead barf guns. There you go.
Boobies.
Oh my gosh.
maybe a couple. Yeah.
Only a couple. I think I saw four
boobies,
and then more than that.
I saw all the boobies.
I only saw four, one on each lady. What? Wait, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Do you think, yeah, you have a hard time casting extras for this? All right, so pretty much we just want you to walk around a majority of the film naked. We're actually going to, you know, stick you on some glass in a pyramid and let you just kind of float there with water running over you. Oh, and did I mention we're going to seal you in a seal-a-meal bag? For, seal-a-meal oh, but don't worry, you'll still be naked.
Yeah, you'll still be naked. It'll be fine. It'll be worth your $10. All right.
Yes.
Jerk character with facial hair. Fake Sean facial Connery? Hair, maybe? Well, he wasn't really a jerk.
Zardoz had his Sharpie
facial That's hair. True. It wasn't real.
And he was a jerk, so for sure.
And it totally worked when he was far away, but the closer he got, you realized.
You saw a little beard with the stripes on it.
I'm
going to skip over stereotypes because whatever, man. It's its own brand of – it's in a different dimension of stereotypes we are not yet informed about.
Yeah.
Black guy dies first. There are
no black people. Yeah. In the
wow. Not a one if to be seen.
If this film was remade, wouldn't it be, can you imagine how much better the boobies would be? Because it would be so multicultural and you'd have the opportunity to feast your eyes on every kind of breast.
Hmm.
I like the innocence of this movie. I preferred all the naturalness because it really reminded me of, you know, that whole era. So
yeah.
I don't know.
I'll withhold comment. I will say that if I was to recast this, I think Denzel Washington would make a great Zed. I do.
He would make a great Zed.
He kind of plays Zed in
he does.
The Book of Levi. What is it? Book of Eli.
Oh, you're talking about Denzel. Yeah, Denzel Washington.
Yeah, he's great in that. Yeah, that's the Denzel Washington I was referring to.
Yeah, Denzel Washington. Yeah.
I'd like Pulp Fiction Samuel L. Jackson to play Zed.
Okay, that would work too.
With the afro and the
not with the eye patch. Oh,
had a character named Zed in it, so that
that's
works.
Right.
You're saying it'd have to truly be the Lucius style character, not just
Say what one more time?
Not Nick Fury. decapitation. A few statues received some of that action.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Reverse and then forward and reverse.
Kind of like that scene. Yeah. How they hopped up. That was kind of cool.
I think I went to get Doritos.
You may have not been there. Okay, I forgot to ask you guys before the show, but I had a really hard time finding a Star Trek connection in this one.
Sean Connery.
Well, in what? How?
He was in that one Star Trek thing. I don't know.
No, he wasn't. You liar. He was never in Star Trek ever.
I watched an episode of Star Trek once.
That's the one shit in space.
He was once in a movie with Patrick Stewart, probably.
Yeah. No, he was. He was in. Oh no, he wasn't. I was thinking they were in what's that movie called? Excalibur. But they weren't.
I can almost guarantee you one of these half naked babes had to be in the old Star Trek. At one point in time.
Yeah, painted green.
I almost guarantee you.
He was the original choice. Hold on one second here. I've got something.
Oh, no.
Oh, I lost it.
He was the original choice for Captain.
Brian just got a wire and he's having to pull it out of the envelope.
Yes. Original choice to play Cybok in Star Trek V, The Final Frontier.
I knew it!
Nice.
What a shame that would have been.
You know what, though? I like that. But who was it? Christopher, what's his name, did it? It's the one, the patch-eyed lawyer dude, the Klingon. That was great.
Yeah,
Christopher
he was good.
Plummer. Yeah, that was great. All right, where the hell are we here? Kenobi type.
Well, his
the lady.
Friend, Mary. Which I loved. Yes. I love that name. It was kind of a Kenobi type.
They're like, friend!
Friend.
Friend! Friend! Excuse me, friend! Wait, friend!
You could set him off too easy. Would you like me to check the computer? Yes! So I don't think he counts. I think May's the closest we get.
Oh, yeah. He's a good Kenobi type.
Sir John Gilgood never showed us his left nipple, though. I want to make that clear. Mm. Animal or robot is comedy relief. There were no animals or robots, I don't think.
No, there weren't.
I'll give the head that. We'll give it to the head. Yeah. Kid named Billy. No kids. Montage. Yes, I'd call the mirror scene a montage.
Yes, for sure. I was thinking about that too. The mirror scene.
I feel like the whole movie was a montage.
It was a montage in the real sense of the word, like truly just a mash of images and sounds and stuff like that. I would probably agree with that. Cave that looks like a vagine. What would that be this time?
so unnecessary in this movie.
Yeah, I mean,
there are plenty of vaginas to go around.
I don't know if there's a lot of condoms in this movie. Just about on everything.
Everything had a condom. It's true. Yes. Yeah. People lived in them. They made.
How are you tearing through the condom?
I don't get it. How are you breaking through that plastic?
It's indestructible. Yeah.
Those people, 300 years.
We could never break it. Look at our little frail arms.
Who's the joke on? If you live for 300 years and you think Saran wrap is indestructible, what is wrong with you? So dumb. Bonus chick fight? No. Yes, maybe.
Yes, there was.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there was. There was. He was there too, and everybody's getting their shirt ripped off. And
yeah,
yeah, it was really dumb. All right, so there's it that.
Threw a girl into a pile of hay.
Let's do that a Twitter post. This is 140 characters or less from each of you of what you thought of this film. And this week, I'd like to start with Randy Jordan.
Zardoz. One of their taglines was, "I have seen the future and it doesn't work." Well, I've now seen a movie of the past, and a wedding dress made me glad that Sean Connery retired.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the wedding dress
Me too. That was great. Ooh. That did not look right. Oh, poor Sean Connery.
I have the bride.
Next up, we have Brian Ibbett.
Zardoz, it's what's left over if you cover up all the good parts of The Wizard of Oz.
Even if it's just letters? I like it. Yeah. Very nice. And then Brian Dunaway, what do you have?
Zardoz, hey, my name is Brian Dunaway. I waited for 105 minutes. Kill me. Kill me now. The gun is good.
Nice.
The gun is good.
Now, aren't you supposed to say, pick up your litter, don't start forest fires? You always have something at the end that's like a PSA. You don't have that today?
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs is last week.
I was actually going to say abstain.
Abstain. All right, very nice. This is what I learned while you backed up a batch. What? Oh, while you sorry. This is what I learned while you baked up a batch of green-tinted bread and played tug-of-war with your bed sheets.
When, that was a great scene.
When people try and trap you in a simple plastic bag material, respond by throwing flour in their faces. When you never need to change your red diaper. The complacent people are zombies. They were very zomborific. The complacents.
Yeah, the complacents. We're the complacents. What do you do? Nothing.
Sucking the life out of Sean Connery, poor guy. All you need is a little Connery sweat to get your second wind, because that's why everybody got non-complacent, because he was all sweaty. Yep. James Bond orgy.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Everybody was always trying to get on the Seanery.
Indeed.
The Seanery.
The Seanery. Nice.
Oh-ho!
Did you coin that? Woo, that's awesome. let's see. Sean Connery gets his energy back when he eats his spinach. That little stupid leaf.
Eat this, you'll know when. I hate in movies. That should be a trope right there.
It is. And there's your Lord of the Rings thing again, too, with the, you know.
You'll know when. I will. Won't you just tell me?
Yeah.
No, you'll know when. Damn it.
It's too hard to explain. You'll be covered by dudes and women, and you'll need to eat it.
Yeah. You
go, no, that's not possible in the vortex.
That's silly. I'll eat it now.
And then finally, teaching is always better topless.
Oh. Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
So is learning.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is the entire process. So there you go. There is what you missed. And there goes another episode of Film Sack. Thank you guys so much. I loved it. And by the way, we have a few comments on the blog where people say, you really should give us homework on the previous episode of what to watch during the week so we can be prepared for the next one. I'm like, dude, you must not listen to the end of the show, because every week we tell you, and I'll do it again right here. Next week, Jaws 3. It used to be called Jaws 3D. They have dropped the D because...
They don't release it in 3D.
Really just, bad D.
It's just in D, yeah.
There's no D in stars.
That's right. I do want to mention real quick, too, in the comments, if you guys haven't looked at the one about Drop Zone, if you haven't looked at the comments, Internet, somebody went through with all the movies that we talked about during that film.
And TV shows.
Yeah.
And TV shows. Holy crap.
Yeah, that weren't Drop Zone is the point.
Yeah, there was over 57.
Yeah, that guy's awesome. That guy's my hero. So thanks for doing that. We love it when you guys do things like that. I love the meta sort of, fan breakdown of what we're doing. So, and more of that is appreciated. So do that in the comments.
One of these days, though, I'm gonna in the middle of an episode of Film Sack, I'm just gonna start going Star Wars, Godfather, Lord of the Rings, just like whatever, naming stuff to name stuff.
Good time. So don't forget that. Before I give you our sign out information, I'm going to play another clip from Scott Fletcher, who quoted this movie by saying,
"I am Arthur Frayn, and I am Zardoz. I have lived 300,000 million gazillion years, and I long to die."
That is awesome. And as always, do not forget,
the penis is evil.
And if you learn that,
Zardoz is pleased.
All right, there you go. Few little extras there from Scott Fletcher this week. Big huge thanks to him. And by the way, Scott Fletcher is on Twitter again. He is Mr. Scott Fletcher. Please follow him. He has interesting things to say. You can also follow us. We're at FilmSack on Twitter. We're also at Extra Life for me, Mission Deep for Brian Dunaway, Coverville for Brian Ibbett, and Randy Deluxe for Randy Deluxe. So go check those out as well. Don't forget to go to the website. That's filmsack.com. Leave us some comments and enjoy the community therein. Email your recommendations and your feedback to filmsack@gmail.com. And as always, give us some reviews on iTunes. We love it there also. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Somebody get that lady a bra.
Here are your guns.
Penis is evil.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.